Okay, we'll see how it goes. So, I am a as much of a follower as I am of any system of belief. I am a follower of Advaita Vedanta. And Advaita is a Sanskrit word that means non-dual. A meaning a non, and Dvaita, you can hear that, dual, non-dual. So what does that mean? I think a lot of us as spiritualists understand that there's only one. We are all united. We are all one. We are all part of the same world, the same consciousness. It's all a unity. Yet at the same time, it's hard to ignore the fact that we are in bodies which need maintenance, as a speaker brought by the Association for Research and Enlightenment to Michigan a few months ago said, "What about that food chain thing? You know, we're part of the food chain and we kind of have to kill to live." And so that's a compromise. We're always forced to balance this understanding that we have bodies that need to be maintained in the physical world. At the same time, there are no boundaries. We are all part of the same universe. And it's that balancing act that is always so difficult. And every culture tries to do some kind of balancing act. But the last month and a half or so, I've been continuing one of my hobbies of reading about ancient peoples. And I came across this book called The Alphabet Versus the Goddess. And it's written by Leonard Schlain, who is a neurosurgeon, and he also was interested in ancient history. This book was published in 1998, so it's been 20 years. And he talks about how the alphabet was so revolutionary. And we all know that the alphabet was revolutionary. Anybody who studies ancient history knows that the alphabet is considered revolutionary because it allowed widespread literacy. It allowed democracy. It allowed the beginnings of democracy. Why? Because now the priests couldn't keep everything so secret. And the children of Israel, the Hebrew people, were the first people who insisted that every male learn to read. In the beginning, they didn't insist that women learn to read. Later, they did. There are still a lot of countries on the earth where women aren't taught to read. But this was presumably one of Moses' ideas, or God's command to Moses, that everyone learn to read. And I certainly would not give up my ability to read willingly. My mother, who passed away about a year and a half ago, her health was declining, and her one remaining pleasure was staying up all night sneaking chocolate while she read murder mysteries on her Kindle. And she had just gotten to the second to last largest print size on the Kindle. She could only see like two or three words on a screen. And she had just ordered a new Kindle with a bigger screen the morning that she fell and never recovered, ended up passing away a couple of weeks later. So reading, it's this huge pleasure. I learned to read when I was about four. I really don't remember ever not knowing how to read. And aren't we lucky that we have an alphabet, that we're not Chinese people who have to learn thousands of symbols? We have 26 symbols. So those 26 symbols can express any idea in writing. So writing and the alphabet are a fantastic thing, but Dr. Schlein in The Alphabet Versus the Goddess makes the point that when we learn to write and when we become literate people who read and write with an alphabet, that it changes our brain. It reinforces the linear analytical part of our brain at the expense of the holistic part of our brain. It reinforces the male characteristics of focus and moving in an analytical chain at the expense of being able to see a big picture and notice all kinds of different factors that might be influencing an event or a decision. My now ex always used to accuse me in an argument, "Well, you changed your mind. Now you're coming up with more excuses." So he would say something and I would disagree. "Well, why do you disagree?" Well, I'd give a reason. Well, then he'd shoot down that reason, why he didn't believe that reason. So I'd come up with another reason. Well, he'd shoot down that reason. So I'd come up with a third reason. He'd shoot that reason down. I'd come up with a fourth. "Oh, you just make up these reasons." No, I can't say them. It is not possible to say all four of them at once. I have to say them one after the other. But that doesn't mean that all of those reasons weren't just as valid as each other. But yeah, I have to pick one to say it first. But to him, that was just, you know, I'm just making stuff up. So I think that that's pretty typical. And people who are dominantly left brain and analytical tend to have to focus on one thing at a time, while people who are predominantly right brain and holistic are able to see a lot more factors at once. And when you're making a critical decision, it's probably good to be able to see more factors at once. So, example, if a nation is deciding whether to go to war, it's probably good if we can understand the consequences of that action before we take the action. You've got to stop and think and use your holistic function of your brain. And so Dr. Schlein's theory is that the fact that we read and write with an alphabet, as opposed to, say, hieroglyphics, which might have been grouped to make a sentence and not necessarily following with I, the subject, like, the verb, fruitcake, the object. When we write things down, they're in a certain order if we're using an alphabet with defined words. But in the older systems of writing, they might have fruitcake, and then a picture of a person, and then a picture of your arms around a heart or something. I'm just making that up to show, you know, I love fruitcake or I like fruitcake. So different parts of the brain are used. And as humanity became more and more successful with our brilliant invention of agriculture and civilization, so that we could produce more and more food and feed more and more people and have stores set aside for lean times so that our population kept expanding and expanding. Soon, there was no more good land. And so the people who had taken these pieces of land had to develop armies. And we started really getting scientific about how to kill each other. And so Dr. Schlain in The Alphabet Versus the Goddess has, let's see, how many pages are in this book, including all the footnotes and index, 464 pages of details about how the male-dominated government and religious structures basically wiped out the religion that Maria Gimbutas, a great archaeologist from Romania, who started digging up sculptures that went back to cultures from about 15,000 years ago. So, way before civilization, like 10,000 years before humans invented alphabetic writing and civilization. And she documented that the religion of humans for at least 15,000 years, and possibly having roots back to the Old Stone Age. Old Stone Age. There's the New Stone Age and the Old Stone Age. Anybody here familiar with the difference between the New and Old Stone Ages? It's all Stone Age, right? But in the New Stone Age, that's when we started developing agriculture, when we domesticated the first animals, goats, sheep, and when we s started domesticating the first plants, wheat and barley. So the early domestication of plants and animals, that's the New Stone Age. So definitely there was a religious system that humans had that went back that far, and possibly she's shown some evidence that this religious system already existed as possibly as far back as 300,000 years ago. So what was that religious system? That religious system was based on a goddess. Because what is the natural religious system for humans? Is it a god or is it a goddess? What's the first thing that we come to be aware of after we're born? Is it our father? Or is it our mother? They didn't have baby formula back then and bottles. Every human being at that time started being cared for by their mother. They were born from their mother. Everybody could see that the mother, the woman, the female, produced life. The female was the source of life. The female was respected and worshiped as the source of life. And there are many symbols that allow us to figure that out. I've been trying to make sense of the archaeological data for many years. I've been reading about this stuff for at least 20 years as my hobby between earning a living. And it's kind of hard to figure out. There's a lot of confusing data, but there's been a lot of archaeological data that has been suppressed. Because who's in charge of our world today? For the last 5,000 years since we developed armies, men have been in charge. And men wanted to be in charge. Of course, any men who are at this church are obviously highly illumined and awakened and aware, and not in any way personally responsible for the historical tragedies that have happened starting about 4,000 years ago with the advent of the alphabet and armies. But the information that has been brought forward, this book is fantastic. I brought it so you could know that I wasn't just making this stuff up. She has a lot of pictures of early symbols from around 7,000 years ago. And what are those symbols? What are the symbols of the feminine divinity? The symbols are the egg. We still use the egg as a religious symbol. Easter eggs. Even Jewish people put an egg on the Seder plate for the Passover as a sign of rejuvenation and new life. But what's the primary symbol of the church? The cross. It's not the egg. The egg as a primary symbol has been suppressed. The bird. Many different types of birds were symbols because the bird lays the egg. The mother bear with her cub was considered a symbol of divinity, the magical behavior of the bear that disappears into a cave in the fall and comes out with a cub in the spring with new life. So there are many symbols of the divine feminine that were worshipped as aspects of the great mother goddess for at the very least thousands of years. And as human needs changed, as we filled the earth, as we obeyed that one commandment, there's one commandment in the Bible that humans have obeyed exceedingly well. I mean, it's pretty hard to be a human, right? I mean, how many of us successfully follow all of the Ten Commandments? Pretty hard. Pretty hard to follow them all the time, every moment, never lose awareness. But there's one commandment that God gave us in the Bible that we have followed exceedingly well, and that is the commandment to be fruitful and multiply. We've done an excellent job. And it's so much fun doing it too, isn't it? So, as we have fulfilled that commandment in perhaps an unbalanced way, not paying as much attention to all the other commandments, we have become more and more unbalanced. And so now is the time for us to remember how once again, revolutionary we are in this church that we pray to all the Almighty Mother, Father, God. That's how it was in the beginning. There was an Almighty Mother. And we don't usually think of the female as Almighty. But that's how humans saw divinity for thousands or hundreds of thousands of years. The mother was the Almighty. The mother was the source of life. And only recently, like the last 4,000 years or so, has God, the male aspect, become the Almighty. I mean, that's such a short time, don't you think? Mere 4,000 or 5,000 years. So what is our long history? What can we do to get back to rebalance the influences of the male and the female? I think that all the wars that we have, all the resources that we put towards wars could be rebalanced into a more favorable percentage of our human resources if we once again honored the divine feminine. Honoring the divine feminine is a way of balancing the natural predominance of the physical strength that the male has. So, I turned 60 recently, and I don't get as riled up as I used to be about too many things. Try to just stay calm, take benefit of my years of spiritual work and all that. But when I finished reading that book, and then When God Was a Woman, which is even more, goes into even more graphic detail about how, all the details of how the men systematically removed women of their place in society as equals with men, systematically eliminated religious rituals where the female was honored in order to keep the women in their place as their property of the men. I really started to feel quite angry. And so I didn't know what I was going to say. And now I have 5 pages of notes that I can use at some other time. Perhaps in this place or some other place if you thought I didn't make any sense. And I thank you, and again, am so happy to be part of a congregation where we honor every human being and not just half the population. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, yeah.
Hopefully I knocked over some of those sides of those boxes.